Welcome to the annual business meeting. You know, when we first came, we had turned the annual business meeting into, right away, we turned it into the annual business celebration. We don't do business meetings like some churches, you know, where they have a big congregational thing and then, you know, there's lots of fussing and carrying on and things can happen that are weird. We just do this thing where we confirm some things, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a little bit here. But I will say that if you're not in a position yet where you're an official member, and there are two levels of membership in our church. There is the legal members, and then there is the associate members. If you associate with us but you've never actually become a legal member, we would love for that to happen. 16 years old and older can become legal members. And why do we need legal members? Well, because legal members have to exist in a corporation, and we are Harvest Life, Inc. still. Even though we're Bethel Church, we're Harvest Life, Inc., we have to have a corporation, and the purpose for the corporation is so we can do business, have things like insurance and buildings and things that we need. So we do that, and so this is the moment when we celebrate that. We started just doing that when I first got here, celebrating, having our annual business celebration. But the Lord kind of put something on my heart today, and I sometimes I just call this the annual business celebration, but today I'm calling it the annual family celebration. The annual family celebration. So I'm going to talk about family, if you haven't figured that out. And I thought it might be good to have a few quotes from a few famous people. You like famous people quotes? I found these quotes. Some of them are from people that are so old, I'm not sure some people even know who they are. But these are just famous family quotes, or quotes that have to do with the family. How many of you remember or ever heard of the name W.C. Fields? Just a few of you. I remember my favorite line from W.C. Fields was, "Okay, kid, come back tomorrow and I'll give you a ride on a buzzsaw." So W.C. Fields said something that you might relate to. He says, "All the men in my family were bearded, and most of the women." George Burns. Anybody remember George Burns? Yeah, that's a little more. I figured he's a little closer to our time, but some of you are still not sure. He says, "Happiness is having a large, loving, caring, and close-knit family in another city." Yeah, well, he was a comedian, and that's what he was after. Cary Grant. Some of you remember Cary Grant? Yeah, these are some really old ones. He says, "Insanity runs in my family. In fact, it practically gallops." Some of you can relate to that more than you want to. All right. Bob Hope. There's a name that we probably recognize, even though, again, these are another generation. But he says, "I grew up with six brothers. That's how I learned to dance, waiting to get to the restroom." And if you didn't know it, by the way, Bob Hope was a really good dancer. You don't see as much of it as the comedian side of things, but he was really good. Jerry Seinfeld. I don't know why I tried to say that back. Jerry Seinfeld. Some of us at least recognize that name, most of us. He says, "A two-year-old is kind of like having a blender, but you just don't have a top for it." My wife and I were experiencing that all day yesterday. Yeah. Betty White. Yeah. Now you're like, yeah, you're expecting something, and it's good. She says, "It's not easy being a mom. If it were easy, fathers would do it." I think she's got a point. I'm just saying, she's got a point. I'm not going to complain. Somebody named Sam Levinson. I really didn't know Sam Levinson, but a humorist, a comedy writer, that kind of a thing. And he said the reason grandparents and grandchildren get along so well is that they have a common enemy. Kind of cute. These are all supposed to be funny, by the way, so laugh just to make me feel better, all right? Somebody named Jean Perrette, and I found out that this was a guy who wrote for the Carol Burnett Show. So if you ever watch the Carol Burnett Show, a lot of the jokes were written by this guy. He was a comedy writer. He says, "Behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes." My wife can testify to that. Oscar Wilde, there's a famous name. A man who says his wife can't take a joke forgets that she took him. I thought some of the women would like some of these today, and apparently I'm right. And then here are just a few quotes that are from unknown origins. So somebody didn't want to confess that they came up with this idea. Marriage is a relationship in which one person is always right and the other is the husband. Respect your parents. These guys pay for your internet. Yeah. And families are like fudge. I'd heard this one years ago. Families are like fudge. Mostly sweet with a few nuts. Yep. Got them in our family too. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at the scripture together. We're going to talk a little bit about the family of God. And Lisa and I, you know, feel like you are our family. When you pick up and move to a completely different place, and you hang out with people more in your church than you do in your own personal family, those people do become family. That's the way it feels. And we've had a lot of family in this church, and we've had some family come and go, and we miss some family still, but we are appreciative and thankful for the family that we have here. You guys mean so much to us. So Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, everybody say family, in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded, everybody say rooted and grounded, in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know, everybody say know, the love of Christ, everybody say love, which passes or surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Everybody say fullness. I'm going to read it to you again, just out of another version, the Living Bible translation. Part of this, it's just going to feel a little different when I do that. Just, let me see. Yeah, there we go. When I think of the wisdom and scope of his plan, I fall down on my knees and pray to the Father of the great family of God. How many of you feel like you're in a great family? I liked how the Living Bible said that. Some of them already in heaven and some down here on earth. That out of his glorious unlimited resources, we give you the mighty inner, he will give you the inner, he will give you the mighty inner strengthening of his Holy Spirit. Boy, I need that. I need that. I need help just reading. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May our roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all of God's children should, how long and wide and how deep and how high his love really is. And to experience his love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. And so, at last, you will be filled up with God himself. There have been several things that I've had you repeat in these passages, and they're important for us to be experiencing. They're important for us to be experiencing. In verse 17, Paul mentions Christ in our hearts and the sense of being rooted and grounded that it brings. In verse 16, I've jumped over this. He says, strength. Anybody not need more strength? I need more. Cover this mic. I'm getting a tickle. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a little something and put it in my throat. Or not in my throat, in my mouth. That should help. I like being stronger. I think that's important. I like having Christ in my heart and feeling like I'm rooted and grounded. I feel like if I'm rooted and grounded in him, things just seem to go better. So many people today, by the way, have no roots. Do you know people like that? It just seems like whatever's happening, they're just like a little toy boat on a kid's pool, just going back and forth with whatever the wind moves them. And I think that the reason they have or they struggle so much is because they have no roots. They're disconnected. That's what I'm getting at. Being disconnected is a really bad idea. It's just a really bad idea. But a lot of people want to be disconnected. They are afraid to be connected. How many of you have ever met someone who was afraid to be connected because the last time they were connected, it hurt? I get it. And it can. So people sometimes don't feel like they belong. But as a result, they'll sometimes almost join anything coming along. They'll try to join in with it just to feel like they belong. I think some of the protests we've seen around the nation in the last few years, I think there are a lot of people who just jump into those protests and join in because they just want to belong to something. They want to feel like they fit somewhere. In verse 18, Paul expresses his desire that we might experience the fullness of God's love. More of that, Lord. I think sometimes the reason we have trouble being loving is because we're not receiving loving at the level that we should be receiving it. And he also says that we should experience the height or the width and length and depth and height of all that God has for us. He's talking about a three-dimensional experience. Not just a surface experience. He's talking about something that's way more complicated. You know, it's one thing to draw a chair. It's another thing to build a chair and sit in it. You can sit on your drawing. It's not going to have a whole lot of an effect. But if you can build something three-dimensionally, God wants us to have a three-dimensional relationship with him that goes beyond just a little bit of, I read through something on a page. So God wants to take us deeper and higher and bring us closer. In verse 19, he talks about knowing the love of Christ. But then he kind of says it's not fully knowable. But I can know more. I want to know more about that. I want to have more of that going on, the love of Christ in my life. And no matter how much we experience of him, there's just always more to experience. I think sometimes, though, we feel like we get to one of those places where we feel like we're okay. I'm okay where I am. You can be okay there if you want, but I don't know that you'll stay okay. Might need that a little bit more later. And he says that we can be full of God. I want to be more full of God. I don't want there to be any part of me that's not full of God. This doesn't mean, by the way, that we have the fullness of God. But it's more like our glass is filled to the point where it's ready to overflow. That's not all of God in that glass. But all that's in that glass should be God. That's what we're aiming for. Inner strength, being grounded, experiencing fullness, and Christ's love is found where? According to this text, it's found in the family. All those good things are found in the family of God. If I'm the devil, is there anything that I want to destroy more than that family atmosphere? If people aren't connected in that family thing, then they don't have the strength that God wants them to have at a level that God wants them to have it. If they aren't connected in that family, they're going to have a hard time staying grounded. So when things come and winds blow, they're moved in ways that don't help them. If I'm not in that family, I'm not experiencing the fullness that God has for me. If I'm not in that family, I'm not finding the level of love that Christ has for me. So churches become organized like this, like we are. And I've said this before, but you know, there's been this two or three gather thing, and if it's going well, the two or three turns into six or eight, and if it's going continues to go well, it grows a little bit. I've told you before, I've had people tell me, I don't want to be part of that organized church. But you can't not be part of an organized church, because if there's anything more to it than just you, it's going to take some organizing. Pretty soon we're going to have to decide when to meet, what time to meet, where to meet. And then the more stuff happens, the more we got to do stuff with the stuff. We start having kids. We need the kids to have something going on for them. We need to have teenagers. We need a youth group. We organize ourselves to try to have things. It's a big deal. I don't know about you, but my family's organized. Like my wife and I are, well, she's organized. How many of you men have a wife that organizes for you? There you go. She tells me where to go and I show up. And sometimes it's pretty good. In fact, almost all the time it's pretty good. Every once in a while, I think I don't want to show up when she wants me to show up. And then I realize sometimes that she's right. Again. So irritating. But anyway. So today, here we are having our annual business celebration, our annual business meeting. And I'm thinking about family. As a church, we do have certain things that we have to satisfy, as I've already mentioned. You guys understand that, right? Like, that's why we do what we do the way we do it. If you have questions about that, I would love to answer them. I really would. Why are we doing what we're doing? You might ask me a question sometime. Why do you guys do that? Why do we do this as part of our church? And I might be like, well, and I have a good answer. And then every once in a while, somebody will ask me a question, and I'll be like, One of my favorite examples of me thinking that I'm organized, smart, trying to do the right thing, which I don't try to do the wrong thing, people. So if you see me doing something, I think I'm doing the right thing. I've reiterated that, but I took the pop machine out of the hallway over here behind the fellowship hall and brought it over by the restrooms. I had a young man wire a wire so we'd have an outlet down there so we could plug the pop machine in right next to the restroom. And after I did that, someone asked me why I did it. And I was like, well, and I started to explain it to them, and they said, well, yeah, but do you really want everybody to take pop into the sanctuary? Do you really want people? I was thinking it would just sell more pop. It would, probably, maybe, I don't know. But And you have these things where people rent the building and you close off the doors so they won't be wandering into the sanctuary. It's not that we don't want people in the sanctuary. It's just, you know, if a kid breaks loose and comes in here and knocks over one of these microphones and you know, a microphone's $100, well, probably $150, $200 now. I haven't priced one in a long time. Boom, you know, you've just got an expense. So we kind of locked the doors up. And so it was Bernie, Florence, she pointed out to me that you moved it to the wrong place. She didn't say it that way. She's like, boy, are you stupid. Why did you move that over? She didn't do that. She just, I was wondering why you moved it over here. And by the time our conversation was done, I had headed off to find some people to move the thing back over. I don't do things because I'm trying to do something stupid. I just do stupid things. How many of you are touched with the feeling of my infirmity? Do you know what I'm talking about? You do. Okay. I've talked about family, I think, a lot over the years. But I think it's so important that we not get away from it. And I think it's been assaulted again in the last few years in some ways with all that our country's gone through. I feel like sometimes, you know, we're not being encouraged to gather in large numbers in some ways, or some people have decided they have to avoid gathering in large numbers for whatever reason. And how do we become family if we're not acting like family? And I don't think family does everything over Zoom. You do if you have to, but, you know, there's something about being on top of one another, having to deal with each other's stuff. That's what family's really about. So everything that we want to experience, and everything that God wants us to experience, by the way, is best experienced in the context of family. His love, his presence, his power, all flow out of this family connection. People who experience the power of God outside of the family end up with problems sometimes. Let me say that again. People who experience the power of God outside of family end up with problems sometimes. Bigger problems than they would have had. Sometimes they just don't grow up and instead they blow up. Lack of family will eventually cause them not to show up. There are things going on. I think they're always going on. Sometimes they're just more talked about than others. With certain churches and certain church leaders and all those kind of things. And I really believe, again, we need family to get through the messes. We need family to get through the stuff that isn't perfect. If we don't have family, I just don't think it's going to work. Just don't think it's designed to work that way. So I saw this video by Francis Chan, and I think I've mentioned it. I may have even played it for us once. But this young man started coming to his church, and then he stopped. And so someone ran into him one day and asked where he'd been. That's not a bad question, by the way. He told them that when he got baptized, he thought it would be a little bit more like when he got jumped into his former gang. And you're thinking, well, what do you mean? Well, I don't understand everything that goes into being jumped. But what he was saying was he thought he'd have around him and have family. And when he kind of came to the realization that he was mainly just coming to church on Sunday, he just didn't get fired up about it because he needed family. I'll be honest, there's been a few people in the history of my life who wanted to just have church on Sunday. And I found that sometimes, in fact, most of the time, in fact, I can't think of a single time when it wasn't true, people who are going through stuff or have stuff or are worried about their stuff or don't want their stuff exposed or embarrassed about stuff or whatever, that's really handy not to have to do anything but just go in and have a service and leave. But that doesn't help us fix our stuff. And if nobody challenges me to put the pop machine back, I'm just going to keep on going along thinking I'm all that in a bag of chips. And I'm smart. So that's why we need family. If you're wondering whether you have permission to call me and ask me stupid questions, they probably won't be as stupid as you're worried they'll be. They're probably smart questions. I don't want you to just do your Christian thing. You know, there are some pastors who really would be satisfied with people who tithed, showed up once a month maybe, tithed online, and watched everything by streaming. That scares me. I even hear of some churches that I respect and love talking about their virtual community, their online church. We want to try to make it easy here, don't we? We give you guys this live stream every Sunday. We encourage you to put it on your social media and pass it around, and people do hear things, and they get blessed when they hear some of the things that are being shared here from this pulpit by the different ones who share. And that's all well and good, but I just feel like there's supposed to be more than that. I don't want to see people just do their Christian thing once in a while and then the rest of the time. You know, because it's like some people have God to supplement their life rather than having a life that is all about God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be honest with anybody who's watching. If you want to belong to a church where you just come and go, where you come to see the show and then you head home, there are a number of churches that can satisfy that. This won't be one. I'll probably try to bother you sometimes. If you're too much, I may call you up. In fact, I really want to apologize. Maybe I need to just be more about that, just get on the phone and get after you a little harder than I have in the past, you know. Some of you have never even been to your house. I'm not begging to come. We live in a different society, by the way. You know, the pastors used to have to go to everybody's house. If you didn't hit everybody in the church in the first, you know, once a month at least, you know. But I don't want you to feel obligated. Most of us go home to, you know, that's our place. That's our safe place. And Lord knows I'm not safe. So, you know. Here's the thing. I think we're doing well. I think this church is doing very well in some areas. Can we do better? No doubt. Sometimes we call this the state of the church message at our annual business meeting time. Can we do better? Absolutely. I think so. Can I do better? Yeah, I'd like to. But you haven't told me what pop machine I moved in your life. I've had people get mad at me because I moved pop machines and didn't know they were upset about it. Never told me. Well, you should have known. Duh. I probably should have. I didn't. I think our text today even tells us that we can do better. Verse 19 of our text says that we are coming to know the love of God that is beyond knowing. There's always more to experience of the love of God. There's always more to experience in the love of God. There are always going to be times when I'm not feeling loved, you're not feeling loved, we're not feeling loved, this group's not as loving and loving as that group, and those people are, you know, and we're going through all that stuff, and that's what this is all about. This thing of God's people coming together. And we need to grow. We need to grow in our love for one another. I believe if we can grow in our love for one another and really, really learn to care about each other and put up with each other. It's still one of the favorite things that I've been quoted, I think, more for this than anything else. I've got a couple of friends who heard me say it, and they've told me they've used it several times, you know, but God's heart is that we would, you know, come together and learn to butt heads without becoming butt heads. I think that's a big deal. And if we can do it on this level, that it helps us to do it on a level out in the world where people who really are maybe not the easiest to get along with, but yet we've learned how to navigate because we're part of a family. And then we know how to treat them like family even when they don't deserve it, maybe. We, that is you and me, may need the love of someone who's not even here yet. We may be missing the love that of some that are no longer here. And it's not helping us become everything that we should be. So here's the truth. We are still just getting started on this family thing. Yeah, I've talked about it and 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 talked about it, but we're still just getting started on this family thing. Because you do realize you're stuck with me for eternity. Yes, but thank God he's going to clean you up and transform you before I have to put up with you forever. Well, he is. He is. But the better we do this family thing, interestingly enough, the better we'll do this love thing that he's asked us to do. And this love thing is very important because I believe that signs and wonders and miracles without the love thing is problematic. Because it goes from being the reason we do this is because we love God to the reason we do this is because, look at me. Real easy without love. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith and can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. See, everything Jesus did came from this place of love. We know that, but that's why he gave us family, so we could practice that. He came to love the family of God. He came to restore us to the family of God. He came to increase the family of God. And now he sends us out to do what he did. So, one more little verse. And then I want to say something about a few people that I just love. Thessalonians 5:12 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. The word recognize is the word to know or to experience. I want to introduce you to some people that you need to know. And the truth of the matter is, I look at our church, and when you're this size in particular, you know, is there anybody that's not highly valued that you don't appreciate that could be a real asset to you in every way, to all of you in every way? It's an important thing. I do want to mention this. I've been asking if anybody's interested in doing the membership thing. We have done this thing where we get together after church on a Sunday that we pick out, and we provide a meal, and we just talk to people about what it means to be part of our church, and they can continue as their in their associate membership without ever becoming a legal member, or they can become a legal member. We were preparing this stuff to send out, and I noticed that there was at least a dozen people that I thought to myself, oh, have I fumbled the ball? Maybe I need to make sure they have an opportunity to become legal members. What do you get if you're a legal member? I don't know. It makes me think of an old song. What do you get when you fall in love? And there's a whole list of things that go with that song that they talk about in that song. You know, it's like sometimes it's easier to feel like you're not responsible. I get it. But I want everybody to feel like they're a part, and I appreciate having people that will stand with us when it comes to us having the things that we need in place to do the things that we need to do. So thank you to all of you who are legal members, and thank you to all of you who are illegal. No, just kidding. Who are associate members. We're going to try to use you no matter which, but we do believe that there is an importance to have at least enough legal members to do business. We did have, as our confirmation ballots were sent out and all the information went out, we did have 52% of those returned in time for today's meeting. So thank you for those of you who got those back to us. And if you didn't, you can still send them in. We'll just make it officially higher in the minutes or something later. I don't know. We'll adjust, but we appreciate that. So I just want to be thankful. Now, at this point, I don't know that anybody watching online is going to be all that. Well, you know what? Leave it. You're what?
I've already got it set where everybody can see.
Oh, cool. Shh. We don't want them to know they're being watched by millions of people online. I just want to introduce to you again the people who were on the ballots that were sent out. And so I'm just going to ask them to stand if they can for just a second when I say their name. Bill, can you stand for a second? He's number one because his last name starts with an A. Woohoo! And he's here today. We're sure glad to have Bill. Bill is on our board of deacons. And he's such a blessing to me, especially as the pastor, because I pay attention to what's going on in the church's exterior a lot. Spray weeds and things like that. But Bill gets a lot of that done for me. And he's helped. We've had drainage issues, and Bill's dug up stuff and made our drainage issues work again. We've had septic issues, and Bill dug up some stuff and saved us a bunch of money and, yeah, stuff like that. So the parking lots look great because of Bill, and every once in a while he comes down with a great big wrench and turns one of those cattle gates that we have for keeping the tractor trailer rigs out, because it'll get turned by a tractor trailer rig usually that wasn't supposed to come in. I think we should just have, like, I don't know, small nuclear device on the top of them so when they hit it, you know. No, that's not nice. Yeah, spike strip. Beth Bachman, stand up. Let her know you're happy that she's... Beth is almost always involved in planning stuff and events and things like that, especially when there's food involved. It's good to have Beth involved in that. And I very much appreciate her gift of hospitality. I really do. Matt Davis, he's back in the back, waving his hand. He's on our board of deacons. Matt's not really a deacon. He's a geekin. And he keeps the tech stuff working. Which includes audio and video. And by the way, you know, we've got a really interesting system back there where literally if somebody could just stand there instead of Matt sometimes and just like, okay, pastors, like right now I can see the angle of the camera up on the back wall and then Matt changes it and it goes to a different one. And all you have to do is just tap something and it changes. And then you tap another one and it changes. And that way the people watching via live stream or watching it later after we've edited it, have something to look at that looks pretty amazing. And for a church our size, I mean, 5 cameras and up to, I think, 30-some angles, it's pretty amazing that we can do all that. John and Bree Pfeiffer, both of you stand up here. Yeah, come on. These guys serve on our board of elders, of course, and John is on the board of directors as well. Bree is involved in kids ministry and prophetic painting, which he handed one of those out today. That was cool. And John is on the worship team, of course, and ministers in the word once in a while. So we're thankful for you guys. Kathy March. Yeah, come on. Kathy's been on the board of deacons for years, and she does our semi-annual church yard sale, and she's the yard sale queen of all yard sale queens. I was looking, Kathy. You know, we were just a little bit short of $2,000 last year for yard sales, just a little bit short. But you should really be thanking her, because if she wasn't raising that extra money, I'd be coming to you with my hand out more often, taking up extra offerings and everything. So it makes a big difference, and I appreciate that gift that she helps bring to the church. Kurt and Rhonda Monk. Rhonda's not here today, but we know who Kurt is. We know who Rhonda is, too. Rhonda is involved in kids ministry, and Kurt serves on the worship team and, of course, ministers in the Word. And we just appreciate them being part of us, and they both are serving on the Board of Elders. So that's a pretty cool thing. Mike and Shirley Sanders. Mike's all by himself. Shirley's in the back. Yeah, see how that works? They serve on the Board of Deacons, and Mike has been helping out in the sound booth back there, putting the right words up on the wall for you all to sing along with. And Mike has helped on a lot of little projects around the building, like the kitchen that was improved. He helped a lot with that one. And Shirley also, she's pretty good at, you know, she'll paint, she'll do things. But I'm really appreciative that she's been working to try to keep our children's ministry just kind of organized as much as we can. And I would not be disappointed if more people wanted to be involved on more levels for our kids' ministry. We were looking at it again. They try to put me on every so often to be going back and getting to be in the kids' classroom while someone else is preaching. Doesn't always work out. Doesn't always work out, but a lot of you have been going back, and I appreciate that. And I enjoy it so much, especially the snack. Just saying. Mark and Melissa Schnitke. Yeah. Board of Elders. Mark is also on the Board of Directors. Melissa helps out in kids' ministries as well, and nursery, and whatever she can do. And they both serve on the worship team, and Mark ministers in the Word. So we're thankful for you guys. You do a lot. We appreciate it. Joyce Stanton. Woo-hoo! Joyce is on our Board of Directors, and she loves to organize trips, by the way. I think we need to do more of those things together. I think that's a good way for family to get to know family, and I appreciate her doing that. I haven't been to Cedar Point, and I don't know when. Maybe I should get her to organize another trip to Cedar Point, then I'll just miss it like I did the last couple of times she did. Whatever, but she does the Fearless Fun Lovers. I appreciate it. Joan Steinmetz. Woohoo! Joan serves on our Board of Elders, and she is our primary intercessor. And I'm going to tell you something, that woman prays. She prays a lot, and I think that's one of the most important things for our church is having prayer warriors who pray. So if you want to know more about, you know, being an intercessor, talk to Joan. She can help you. And then finally, Marlene Sutton. She serves on the Board of Directors now, and she's been on the Board of Deacons for quite a while, and again, an organizer. I love having people around me who organize, because I don't always organize. And when I think I'm organizing, I'm sometimes not very good at it. So it's great to have a couple of people to keep me in. And of course, you all know that she also serves as our bookkeeper and secretary and assistant to the pastor and trying to keep him going in the right direction. So we are very blessed. We are very blessed to have these folks serving. But just understand, you don't have to be a quote-unquote legal member to serve. You might have to be a legal member to officially be on a board, and that's the way our Constitution and bylaws is written up, and there's a reason for that. They expect certain things. I would like to tell you, well, maybe, I haven't checked into this, but I had this wild idea. I was wondering whether I should just get like one of these little mata things over here, these little staffs. If you don't know what those are, they represent, you know, the idea that there were leaders among the tribes of Israel who had certain callings on their life, you know, had certain things. And some of those have tags on them explaining, you know, what the coloring and the things on them represent. I thought about grabbing one of those little mottas, though. Maybe we could write this into the Constitution and bylaws that if somebody is in the church and I want them to be a legal member, all I have to do is just point a mata at them and say, they wouldn't have to take a class. I think probably it's better they take a class. I don't want a little magic wand that says, abracadabra, you're a member. But I do want our people to know our people more. Which brings us to the last thing that I'll say before we end the day. In the past, we've had a dinner following this thing. And this year, we decided to forego that. It may have been a pop machine. You know, maybe it wasn't a good decision that we decided not to have the dinner. But I will say this. You have to recognize that the culture around us has changed. I remember a time when people would show up to church when you were having a dinner and no other time. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I've known a few people who did not show up to church because we were having a dinner. And they didn't want to feel like they had to go to it. I'm not trying to put obligation on anybody. Opportunity, obligation, no. So we decided we wouldn't have it today. I would love to hear a whole bunch of people after the service say, I can't believe you stopped having that. What were you thinking? That'd be great. We want people to feel more connected as family. We do have a business meeting afterwards today with the board of directors and some of the elders and some things that we have to cover. That might not be the best time to come over and yell at us. But if you need to, you really do. I will suggest this, though. You know, one of the things that is a powerful thing about becoming family is getting close enough, breaking bread together, hanging out for a little bit. So take those opportunities. Some of us do this every week, and I want to clarify something if you haven't understood it. When you see my wife going around talking to several other people about where we're going to go after church, you're invited. You're invited. Today, that group that kind of goes sometimes is not going to be going because we'll be doing something else. But if you will, always feel, I would love. In fact, I forgot for a minute that we were having our leadership meeting today, and I was going to tell us all to invade Arby's. Can you imagine if everybody in here went into Arby's? Their eyes would be, yeah, really big, but who knows? Revival could break out at Arby's. I just think those kind of things are fun, and I just love being with you all because you're all precious to the Lord. And do I see anything wrong with anybody in this room? Sure, I spend most of the time looking in a mirror when I do that. But I also see the gold that everyone carries. You all have something special that the Lord's put in you. And I'm so thankful to have an opportunity to just have a little bit of that. A little bit of that. And the more I can get of it, the more I want it. It's addicting. It really is. So I pray that God will addict us all. So let's stand up. If you didn't get prayer and you need prayer, make sure you see me or one of these people who I declared as an elder. Get some prayer before you leave for healing in your body or financial breakthrough or whatever it is you need. Don't feel bad to do that. That's always available. And I just want to say again how much I appreciate this body of Christ that God put us into, brought us to this place. We are so glad to know you and to get a chance to love you and be loved by you. And we do feel the love. We really do. So, Father, bless this, your people. As we go forth from this place, God, may we represent you well. And may we grow in you and grow in your family. I pray, God, that we will understand that height and depth and width and length better of the love that you want us to have for each other as a family together. And I just believe, God, that you're going to grow us in that. And we're going to need it more than ever probably in the days to come, Father. So help us to grow in that. Bless your people as they go, Lord. Safety going on their way home. Bring them back again, Lord, with testimonies just of the experience they've had of your goodness to them. And this we all pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.